narrations.
Okay, thank you very much, that much for knowing what the istikhara or khair is, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness. So this has different formats. Some refer to take consultation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the language of Al-Quran, the book of God. And some refer to some rosaries and actually based on some formulas, they reach to know and to interpret what is being understood from that rosary.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So let's ask Sheikh that, so whatever comes out as the result of this consultation from Al-Quran or the Rosary, can it be a proof for us to act upon that, Sheikh?
As I said, you know, it depends whether your, what is your scholarly analysis of the authenticity of istikhara.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, according to my little knowledge that I have, it, for the most cases, the istikhara that we have in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wasalam is istikhara du'ai, which we call it in Farsi, which means some kind of asking goodness from Allah by or via prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me share another narration.
Yeah.
For example, he said that Imam al-Sadiq, if I'm not mistaken, he said that فَاسْتَخِرِ اللَّهُ مَأَتَ مَرَّ خِيَرَةً فِي آفِيَةً. Before doing everything, anything, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness 100 times. فَإِنْ أَهْلَوْلَا فِي قَلْبِكَ بَعْدَ الْإِسْتِخَارَ فَبِئِهَا. After doing that, after doing this supplication or prayer, as I said, 100 times. In other narration we have, for example, 3 times or 7 times. If look at your heart, whether you, whatever it has been reminded, you have been reminded of, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, for example, if it was positive, you go and start that business.
Mm-hmm.
In the narration, for example, to sell something. Or if it was not, if it was negative, you stop doing that. وَاسْتَبْدِلْ غَيْرَهُمَا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَالْتَكُنِ الْإِسْتِخَارَ بَعْدَ صَلَاتِكَ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. As I said, in some narration we have that. If you do, first of all, you should have 2 units of prayer, mm-hmm. which we call it Salatul Istikhara, or 2 units of the prayer.
Yeah.
After these 2 units, you have some kinds of prayer toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, you know, you can go and you have your consultation with other people. Or, for example, look at your hearts, whatever you're reminded of and whatever occurred in your mind and your heart, you can do, mm-hmm. and you practice upon that. And what if that prayer, for example, one quotation we have, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi annaka alamul ghaib wa shahada ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa anta allamul ghuyub astakhirullaha bi rahmatih. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is all, you know, knowing, He knows the, you know, the heavens and earth,
yeah.
and he is a most blessing and most merciful, and He knows all hidden things. I ask goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of His mercy.
Mm-hmm. So this is a supplication or prayer, istikhara wa akhira, that you talked about. Shaykhana, is there any, let's say, hadith or let's say instruction from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam or the household of the Prophet, and the quality of istikhara in the form of, let's say, the one which is being done with rosary or with Al-Quran, because it is quite common these days, because the kind of istikhara that you talked about and explained from the language of the tradition, it's not that common way of performing istikhara. But the other 2 forms, that is performing istikhara with rosary and Quran, is more common. So is there any recommendation from Ahlul Bayt in this regard, an instruction how to perform it?
As I said, we have one or two narrations, and maybe three in this regard has been quoted, especially doing some kind of istikhara with the verses of Noble Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul, he mentioned in Mafatihul Jannah, his great masterpiece of the collection of the prayers of Ahlul Bayt. He has quoted, and other scholars that have quoted one or two narration with regards to doing istikhara via, for example, verses of Noble Quran. But as I said, some scholars, they have questioned and have some doubts about the authenticity of those narrations.
Yeah.
And of course, we do not want to, I want to emphasize on the point that we do not want to refute these kind of istikhara.
Yeah.
We do not want to do that. But after all, we have some doubts about the authenticity of such istikhara.
Mm-hmm.
But what is sure, for sure you can understand from the narrations of Ahlul Bayt is the istikhara that I mentioned, and it has two units of prayers.
Yeah.
And after that, you have prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you go and start your...
This format is the one which is instructed by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
At least, yes. And all scholars, they believe on the authenticity of this one, this
very
kind
true.
Of istikhara.
But not the other forms. Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for your explanations and enlightenment on this issue of the istikhara. So istikhara by itself, as Respected Sheikh explained, whatever it has been recommended by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is the one which is known as istikhara dua, that is a supplication or prayer form of istikhara that we perform two rak'ah of prayers, and then after that there is a dua that we need to recite it 100 times, if I'm not mistaken. Then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a blessing, for a goodness, and to clarify for us the way, because usually istikharas or khiras are being done at the time that a person is in state of ambiguity or in state of being in doubt to perform an action or not to do it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him directly or indirectly how to what to do with in that specific case that he is afflicted with.
Let me add 100 times for important job that you are going to do that. And 3 times or 7 times has been mentioned in the narration for easy job that you are going to do.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. That was a good complimentary statement from the respected Sheikh. Okay, dear brothers and sisters, but what we understood all in all, istikhara is not being going to be looked as a proof so that we act upon that and we consider it as something 100% certain and there is no way around. So this is not what Islam tells us. Till our next show, I live in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
the glorious day of Mab'ath. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, everybody, and heartiest congratulations to you all on the advent of the occasion that changed the destiny of the world. Today is that joyous day when over a millennium and four centuries ago, the Archangel Gabriel descended by God's command on Mount Nur on the outskirts of the then obscure town of Mecca in the Arabian Peninsula with the following divine message to a 40-year-old person popularly known as As-Sadiq, or the truthful, and Al-Amin, or the trustworthy. Read in the name of your Lord who created man from a clod. Read, and your Lord is most honorable, who taught to write with the pen, taught man what he knew not. The moment Archangel Gabriel brought these ayahs to the person whose light was the first thing created by God Almighty, calm and confident as ever, as the recipient of the message, he recited these ayahs as if he knew it more perfectly than the conveyor of the message. What transpired on the 27th of the month of Rajab at Cave Hira, exactly 1,455 lunar years ago, was that glorious moment which would change the destiny of the world. This was the start of the gradual revelation for the next 23 years of the Noble Quran, which remains till this day as the immortal miracle of Islam. Please stay with us for a special feature in this regard. It was indeed the dawn of the universal message of Islam, the message of monotheism that was conveyed to the various nations of the world in bits and parts by the previous prophets, whose missions were time-bound and confined to particular geographical areas, was now being entrusted to the one who is undoubtedly the best of creation. It was now the duty of the 40-year-old messenger of mercy to not just expound it to the humanity of his era, but to entrust it to a line of trustees that never veer for a moment from the straight and unwavering path of God. No wonder Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, had said in explicit terms, "I was the prophet, then Adam was still in the uncreated state between water and clay." To doubt the words of the person whose truthfulness the Almighty verifies in the opening ayahs of Surah Najm by saying, "He neither errs nor speaks out of desire, but it is revelation which is revealed," is outright blasphemy. Doesn't God also say in Ayah 107 of Surah Anbiya in the Noble Quran, "We have not sent him but as a mercy to the creation"? As a matter of fact, Mab'ath, which signifies resurgence, is the most important day on which the sun has ever shone. It is the resurgence of not just humanitarian values, but the basic purpose of life and the goal towards which mankind is moving. Hence, it is more significant than the creation of Adam and the start of the human race. It is more memorable than the miraculous transformation into a pleasant garden of the huge fire the tyrant Nimrod had lit up and hurled Prophet Abraham into it. It is more important than the parting of the sea waters for Prophet Moses, peace upon him, to allow him safe passage from the oppression of the Pharaoh. It is more precious than the miraculous virgin birth of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, without the association of any male for his mother, the virtuous Mary, peace upon her. In other words, Mab'ath is not a spontaneous occurrence in the barren landscape of the Arabian Peninsula. On the contrary, it is the highest watermark in history that separates truth from falsehood, virtue from vices, and right from wrong, for which mankind was being prepared through a long and unbroken chain of divine messengers spanning different eras and various geographical regions in order to build the mindset for the single universal message, Islam. A glance at the state of humanity before and after the proclamation of Islam confirms this point. That is why the pre-Islamic society, not just of Arabia, but also of the supposedly civilized nations of the past, is called Jahiliya, or the Age of Ignorance. Time and space do not allow us to go into details, but even a cursory glance at the cultures of the past reveals that despite their pretensions to power and material achievements, they sorely lacked such basic humanitarian fundamentals as monotheism or faith in the one and only Creator, equality of all human beings without any distinction of color, race, language, and class, social justice as the privilege of each and every individual, including those adhering to other beliefs, women's right to own property, marry according to their will, safeguard their honor and individuality through observing of modesty and hijab that none is entitled to violate, compassion, forgiveness, generosity, truthful speech that are so instrumental in promoting peace and fraternity, refusal to bow to oppression, and last but not the least, rationality that not only negates superstitions but grants the freedom of education to all, thereby ruling out manipulation of science and knowledge by vested interest. Thus, the marking of Mab'ath means the renewal of allegiance to all such egalitarian principles that make a true Muslim and lead to the building of the real monolithic Islamic Ummah, which Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, preached through practical demonstration, and which the present Muslim world has largely neglected to its own detriment. No doubt, the universal mission of Prophet of Islam was foretold in all heavenly scriptures, ranging from the Book of Abraham to the Torah of Moses and the Evangel of Jesus, as well as in the religious texts of the Zoroastrians, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and other cultures. The skeptics are advised to read the passages in the Book of Deuteronomy, the Gospel of St. John, the Avesta, and the Prunas for confirmation of the universal mission of the last and greatest prophet. This means the 27th of Rajab is the day of formal divine appointment of the mercy to the entire creation. But who was the first and foremost person to bear testimony to the mission of the man who pronounced that fundamental article of monotheistic faith Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, which means I testify there is no God but Allah. The answer is obvious. It was his cousin, ward, and divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, who witnessed the glorious event of Rajab 27th on Mount Nur, and who, as a 10-year boy, completed the kalima, or testimony of faith, that every Muslim recites till this day by saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, which means, I testify, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In Sermon 191 of the famous book Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali, peace upon him, informs us, When the revelation descended on the Prophet of Allah, I heard the moan of Satan. I asked, O Prophet of Allah, what is this moan? He replied, This is Satan who has lost all hope of being worshipped. O Ali, you see all that I see and you hear all that I hear, except that you are not a prophet, but you are a vicegerent. That is the reason it is highly recommended to perform the ziyarat of Imam Ali, peace upon him, whether from afar or near his holy shrine in Najaf on the day of Mab'ath. Those still in doubt are advised to go through the contents of the miracle of the Prophet, the fathomless treasure, trove of wisdom, that is the Noble Quran, which confirms in Ayah 43 of Surah Ra'd the position in celestial hierarchy of the person who was considered Quran-e-Natiq, or the living Quran. And those who disbelieve say, You have not been sent as prophet. Say, O Muhammad, Allah is sufficient as a witness between me and you, and he who has knowledge of the book.
ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم امر الله سبحانه الا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام الناس أعداء ما جهلوا.
Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, "People are enemies of what they do not know."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we learn a great many lessons from this truly universal persona of the commander of the faithful Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Now, one of the things that we do learn from His Eminence Imam Ali is this idea of how to be content in our lives. In this day and age of materialism and consumerism, we sometimes have a tendency to not be content or satisfied with our lives. Now, there are many different factors and many different reasons why this could be so. But Imam Ali alayhi salam, and in his universal persona, he explains to us one reason why it is that perhaps we are not content and satisfied with our lives. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first divinely appointed imam, says, "One who is content with a little thing is in no need of extra. And one who is always thinking of extra is in need of every worthless and little thing." So, dear friends, this is one of the reasons why we are at times not content or satisfied in our life. It is because we are always thinking of that extra thing. I mean, if we want to materialize this, then, well, we are always looking to buy an extra pair of shoes, or we're looking to buy a brand new shirt, or we're looking to buy some new clothes, or perhaps a bigger house, a faster car, a better car. And so when we are always thinking of extra, we are always thinking of the next material thing that we want to acquire, Well, this makes us dependent on, and it makes us crave every worthless thing and every little thing. But on the other hand, when we are content and satisfied with what Allah has given us, and we don't have this innate greed for more, then our life will be happy, it will be satisfying, and we will be content. A beautiful and profound lesson for every single one of us, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother. My name is Muhammad. After returning from the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali gave certain pieces of advice to one of his sons. Historians consider him to be Imam Hassan alayhi salam, while others are of the opinion that he was Muhammadul Hanafiyya. He wrote this letter in the form of a will. They deal with almost every aspect of life, which goes a long way to make a man successful in life, brave, humane, generous, virtuous, and pious. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from the last will of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. My dear son, my first and foremost advice to you is to fear Allah. Be His obedient servant. Keep His thought always fresh in your mind. Be attached to and carefully guard the principles Islam which connect you with Him. Can any other connection be stronger, more durable, and more lasting than this? To command greater respect and consideration, or to replace it. Accept good exhortations and refresh your mind with them. Adopt piety and kill your inordinate desires with its help. Build your character with the help of true faith in religion and Allah. Subjugate your nature with the vision of death. Make it see the mortality of life and of all that it holds dear. Force it to realize the actuality of misfortunes and adversities, the changes of circumstances and times, and compel it to study the lives of past people. Persuade it to see the ruined cities, the dilapidated palaces, decaying signs and relics of fallen empires of past nations. Then, meditate over the activities of those people, what they have all done when they were alive and were in power, what they achieved, from where they started their careers, where, when, and how they were brought to an end, where they are now, and what they actually gained out of life, and what was their contributions to the human welfare.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
We are on two sides. Either you love Ali ibn Abi Talib or you hate Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's if you know Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that is why we find a hadith from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. أَنَّهُ قَالْ لِعَلِيٍ يَا عَلِي لَا يُحِبُّكَ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا يُبْغِذُكَ إِلَّا مُنَافِقٍ. He says, oh Ali, no. That those who love you, that is a sign of iman. Yeah? And for those who hate you, that is a sign of nifaq, hypocrisy in their hearts. Now, we need to look, before we describe what is it about Imam Ali alayhi salam that makes him loved and hated at the same time so much, we need to have an introduction to understand this whole idea or this concept of this jazibiyah, as it is known in Arabic, this attraction. Naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you would hate disbelief. You would hate people who transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people who sit there and say, oh, let anything happen. These are people who let the world fall down and don't do amra bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. They don't take sides. This is not the way Islam tells us to live our lives. Islam wants us to take sides. Islam wants us to say, this is the side of haq and I walk on this side. This is the side of batil and I don't walk on this side of batil. So when these people who talk in this way and say that I would rather not take a side, I would rather sit on the fence, these are people that we need to avoid. And these are people that we make sure that we are not like, my brothers and sisters. Take a look at yourselves. And I advise myself and I advise you, where am I? Which one of these four do I fall into? Because only one is the one we have to be in. Everything else is wrong. So this is the first one and it is absolutely something that we must avoid. The second group of people. These are people who only have the power of attraction. Oh, they make everybody fall in love with them. And they love everybody. They don't want to criticize anybody. They don't want to do anything which would upset or rock the boat. Why? Because we're all talking about love only here. Huh? We only have the power of attraction. You know, these are the people who, if you're having an amal at your house, I will come to the amal. You are having a music party at your house, I'll come to the music party. Because these are people who have no principles. A man of principle will know where he stands. A man who has no principle will go anywhere that he goes. Anywhere that they are dragged, this man will go. And these are people who are munafiq in this world. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. These are like the people who want to win your vote. They will say anything or do anything for you so that you will like them. This is the second group of people. These are the kind of people that we need to make sure that we avoid at all costs. We can't love everybody, my brothers and sisters.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
حماد ابن عیسی اومد آقا جون پنج تا چیزای شما.
A person by the name of Hammad ibn Isa came to Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam and asked him for five things. He asked for a wife, children, a house, a vehicle, and finally a Hajj pilgrimage. In fact, he asked the Imam to pray for him to reach such things. Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam accepted his call and prayed that may Allah give him a good wife, children, a house, a vehicle, and 50 Hajj pilgrimages.
حماد میگه آقا شهید شد ولی من هم ازدواج کردم.
Now, Hammad related that Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam was martyred. However, all my calls were answered because of the prayer of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. It is narrated that he even had 50 Hajj pilgrimages as he wished. However, he couldn't make his 51st trip to Mecca complete. When he was in Jaffa, a flood struck and he died because of the natural disaster. From this story, we can see that how Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam had a great position in the eyes of Allah, so that because of his prayers, all the wishes of Hammad ibn Isa became true. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Persian language takes center stage in a conference in Tehran dubbed Promotion of Persian Language on Global Scale. The event seeks to preserve the ancient language through teaching it to non-Iranians. Yusuf Jalali has more.
Iran imruz.
Persian language has been spoken for three millennia, but like every cultural heritage, it needs to be preserved. This is according to officials from Iran's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who sat with Persian language activists to discuss ways to promote Persian through teaching it to non-Iranians.
Today is actually the Persian language day for me and for many of my colleagues. So if you allow me, I would like to continue in Farsi.
Thank you for this opportunity. The identity of a nation is a set of shared beliefs, shared culture and history, and all of these issues are reflected in the language that each nation speaks. So today, all of those who have a role in the promotion of Persian language gathered to exchange views on the preservation of Persian. And we at the Foreign Ministry will facilitate any effort made in this regard.
1,000 years ago, Iran had a poet named Ferdowsi whose poems are still popular and understood by our generation. This is significant and shows that Persian is an old language that has stayed intact through the centuries.
Sa'di Foundation is the leading entity in the promotion of Persian language. Every year, the Institute, together with the Islamic Culture and Relations Organization, holds a number of Persian refresher courses in and outside Iran for non-Persian speakers. Recently, the Institute has launched online courses and published self-study books for Persian language enthusiasts.
By launching the online Persian training platforms, we saw a sudden increase in the number of applicants from different countries. This is because many of those who are interested in learning Persian gained an instant access to Persian teaching contents. At the same time, we continue to launch in-person courses organized by Iran's cultural attaches and hosted by Iranian overseas schools.
Persian comes from the Indo-European family of languages. The earliest versions of Persian date back to roughly 2,500 years ago, during the Achaemenid dynasty. Today, it is spoken by more than 300 million people in the world, and different dialects, including Dari and Pashto, in countries such as Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan. Besides its significant impact on science, medicine, and astronomy, Persian has its own prominent place in literature and poetry. Khayyam, Rumi, Sa'di, and Hafez are only a few examples of world-renowned Persian poets.
Language is the identity of a nation, and through the centuries of its spoken and written history, Persian has grown to become the narrator of Iran's rich past and its ancient civilization. Now, as learning a language is learning a culture, experts here say promoting Persian on a global scale is translated into introducing Iran and its culture to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Hoch, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Gogh's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings. An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. It is now well-established facts that animals feel, think, behave, and even experience pain. Thus, they should be treated with the same respect as humans, while a center in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo is doing the same. Life-saving services to injured apes. The sanctuary, located in a vast national park, has been active for 2 decades. The center houses scores of chimpanzees, gorillas, and endangered great apes. Bonobos and bombos as well. Most of the animals that are brought to the sanctuary were rescued from poachers. The staff there provide medical care to the injured animals until they are healthy enough to be integrated into a group of their fellow species.
Students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands
at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbey Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It is fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf. The 16th Fajr International Poetry Festival has wrapped up with an award ceremony in Tehran. The literary event aims to honor Persian poets from Iran and the world with the ultimate goal of elevating Persian poetry. Yusuf Jalali has more.
It's an occasion to honor poets and poetry. The 16th edition of Fajr International Poetry Festival saw its closing ceremony in Tehran, where the best Persian poetry works of the year were acknowledged and awarded. During the event, participants from Iran and other countries contended in different categories, including classic poetry, modern poetry, and children and young adults.
I won the prize for the best poetry book for children and young adults. My book is titled Silence in the Mother Tongue. I'm so glad that my effort is seen, judged, and acknowledged by top Iranian literary personalities from the jury of the festival.
Certainly, Fajr Poetry Festival is of great significance to me as an Afghan poet. Here, literary experts from Iran, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, and many parts of the world can network and make joint efforts to promote the Persian language.
Iran is known as the land of poets, being home to many world-renowned literary figures over the centuries, including Rumi, Hafez, and Khayyam. Experts here believe Persian poetry has no expiry date, and not only do Iranians still read ancient poems, they're also interested in modern prose and poetry.
Poetry is a beautiful language that speaks the beauty of the world, and such a language always communicates very well with the hearts of human beings. Iranians have long understood the beauty of this language and still listen to it and read it in its every form and genre.
Fajr International Poetry Festival was launched in 2006 as a platform for Persian poets from Iran and other Persian-speaking countries to get together for the elevation of Persian poetry. However, the literary event has grown to encompass non-Persian poets who are interested in Iranian literature.
Poetry holds a special position among Iranians, and you can rarely find an Iranian family that doesn't have a poetry book in their bookshelves. Now, aside from acknowledging Persian literary figures and poets, Fajr Festival seeks to preserve this long-standing culture and introduce it to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Color, beauty, and entertainment. The French city of Nice hosts a dazzling and flashy event. The so-called Battle of the Flowers took place on Saturday. Performers on top of animal-themed floats waved at the crowd and threw flowers at the audience while musicians played live. Each of the 16 floats was decorated with around 3,000 flowers. Also, thousands of people attended the event. The Battle of the Flowers is part of the carnival in Nice, which has been held annually for almost 150 years. An endangered Mediterranean